gets colder. My eyes grow thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life. 'Cause I can't stop the war.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. My guest today is Martha Rosenberg, an award-winning health journalist and author of the book Born with a Junk Food Deficiency, How Flacks, Quacks, and Hacks Pimp the Public Health. Martha has written so many reports and articles on Big Pharma and poisonous foods that I can't even begin to count them. She is by far the best up-to-date journalist out there on these topics. I've posted many of her articles on my Facebook page today so people can reference her work. Today I want Martha to tell listeners what topics she covered in her book and let us know what foods and drugs we should be paying attention to. I also later want to talk about the attempted censorship last week of the documentary Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe, by the mainstream media, no doubt motivated by the vaccine industry and pediatricians who make between 50 and 80% of their income from giving vaccines. But first, let's bring Martha on and get some important information on the dangerous pharmaceutical and food products on the market today in the U.S. Martha?
Yeah, hi there, Evelyn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I could be better. Yesterday it was 70 degrees here in Chicago, and now it's snowing, so...
Yeah, that's the geoengineering. That's the weather manipulation by our government. That's what happens. They had a real good episode of by geoengineering last week, and he was explaining all these differences in temperatures, like you're just describing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that that's bizarre. That's the government doing that with its geoengineering. But anyhow, let's not talk about that.
We won't
now.
Go there, right? So, yes, I would love to talk about animals and, you know, what my book, which you gave the name of it, which is Born with a Junk Food Deficiency. It's on Amazon, and you can probably get it for $2 as an ebook. But what I really focused on in the book was not just big food, but big animal pharma. A big part of the pharmaceutical industry is dedicated to livestock, and that's what I cover in my book because they don't want you to know that, and it's mm-hmm. really scary.
Right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we're going to talk later about vaccines, but obviously vaccines are a big part of livestock factory farming or, you know, raising animals. They certainly get a lot of vaccines, and so that's
right.
something nobody really wants to think about, you know, in their food. There was
You know, I've never thought of that. I've never thought of that. You probably know a lot about that.
Well, you know, that is... let's say, one of several things that make a lot of mainstream food unsafe. But I'm sure that our listeners all know about the excessive and really unnecessary use of antibiotics in meat production. And that's done because the animal will get fatter with less food, so the farmer will make more money. Most people know about this. But what people probably don't know is that it's so bad that when a newborn chicken who's going to be an egg layer, when she's born, or when she's still an egg, big farmer or big animal farmer will inject that egg with antibiotics. So that's how bad it is. You know, it's like, you know, treat them before they even get, and then that hen, when she hatches, she'll go to, you know, an egg factory. But at the hatchery, they're actually injected in the egg with antibiotics. You know, so that's something that I'm sure a lot of listeners would never have known and be pretty shocked about.
I am. I've never heard of such a thing. Oh, my God. And so, you know, that's part of the reason why we've all developed so that antibiotics don't work on us, right? Because people like me who never take them wouldn't know this, that they're in our food.
Well, exactly. Regardless of how well we live, and I think you and I and probably the listeners try to avoid this, but you can't really avoid it. And one example that I always cite, and this comes from Harvard. It's not something that progressive journalists made up or something. An example of how bad it is some Harvard researchers were driving their car past a factory farm, and they had a can of unopened Coke. And just from driving maybe a mile away from this farm, on top of this soft drink was antibiotic-resistant MRSA. We call it MRSA, which is a type of staph infection that doesn't respond to antibiotics. And so that's, that's the resistance you're talking about. I mean, these researchers didn't take the drugs. Their car was a mile away. The Coke, it came from the farm, so it's in the air. It's everywhere, regardless of how well we personally eat or drink or behave. The antibiotic resistance is a huge issue. It continues to be a huge issue because Big Pharma will not succumb to regulations the FDA gives it because they don't want to lose the money. They'd have to give the animals more feed. One big issue was that these, let's say big food said that if they couldn't give the animals antibiotics on these factory farms, they'd have to give them room to walk around. Well,
Right.
Because otherwise the disease would break out because they're so pushed together. So,
doesn't it?
And then there, aside from the antibiotic resistant infections, which there's a lot of them I've written about. One is called VRE and one is called CRE, and then there's the MRSA, and there's certainly C. diff, and a lot of these we know about. But aside from the idea that you could get an infection and theoretically even die thanks to overuse of antibiotics on factory farms, aside from that, there's a subplot to antibiotic usage which is starting to emerge, and that has to do with what happens. Let's say it's not even from the meat you eat. It's just the doctor kept giving you antibiotics when it was a cold and you didn't need them. What does that do to human beings? Well, they're starting to think, first of all, that good bacteria in the gut are being killed, ones that, make us, that are good for mood. They're starting to think that it can cause asthma because there's certain friendly bacteria that we don't want to kill with the antibiotics. And then there's a school of thought that says the tremendous obesity we're seeing with the younger kids, is from the antibiotics, because if they make livestock get fat, why wouldn't they make people get fat? So all of these are things we're looking at with antibiotics.
This is so crazy. And our government lets them do all these things.
Totally lets them, right.
And Big Pharma and Big Food are in cahoots together.
Well, absolutely.
Right.
The thing that people don't realize, I don't know how many listeners remember Ted Kennedy, but, in many ways, he was leading an effort to stop all this agricultural use of the antibiotics, because he said, what's going to end up happening is that the drugs won't work for humans. And, of course, he was right, he was a little ahead of his time, but it's gotten no better. And what happened in 2014, and I was on the conference call with the FDA when they announced this, the FDA announced a new program where Big Pharma, who makes the veterinary drugs, would change the label on antibiotics, and the label would no longer say this is for growth enhancement. The label would say this is to prevent disease. And then the theory would be that the big meat and big pharma would almost use the honor system and just be good and not do it. It's like...
Oh, yeah, right.
Literally, Evelyn, since that 2014, honor system, please be nice, Big Pharma, the use has gone up. In some cases, 150%. The use of these antibiotics has gone up. So it's just a joke. It's absolutely a joke. I often say, and lately in the things I'm writing, that it's almost like the government is Big Pharma. I mean, the government cannot in any way regulate Big Pharma because Big Pharma is bigger and more powerful. So I'm very discouraged about it.
Well, yeah, it's in bed with Big Pharma. It has been for years, but it's just become so much more blatant now. You know, you read about the new FDA commissioner. How many drug companies was he on the payroll from?
I know. It's, there's not even a pretense anymore of the separation of church and state, or so to speak. In 2008 or 2009, the FDA, and I think a lot of the people there are really good and really try, and I think, because I know a lot of people there, and mm-hmm. I think that they just don't have, you know, that they're overpowered by these bad instincts. But back in, I think it was 2008 or 2009, the FDA tried to ban what we call cephalosporins, which is a certain antibiotic that is very important for human beings, so you don't want to make them not work anymore by giving them to animals. And
right.
So when they floated the idea that they were going to ban these drugs, and what happened was the milk, egg, pork, chicken, and beef industries absolutely raided Capitol Hill and said, you know, we can't farm without these drugs. And they won. And FDA said, oh, okay, well, never mind. I mean, it's just sickening, you know? Who's running this country?
Yes. Yes. Right. And I had seen that you had written an article about, I was reviewing lots of your articles today, about how much money, I think it was the pharmaceutical industry gave Congress. But I'm sure that the agricultural companies and stuff are about the same as far as handing Congress members money.
You know, the parallels are very similar. You know, like the... we know FDA has a revolving door. If people leave there, they join industry, they come back, they squeeze their colleague. And it's very similar to USDA. USDA serves, to a very large extent, industry and not human beings. And there's so many examples of it that, you know, one thing would be, you know, it's like most of us know now that you really don't want a lot of saturated fats and meat, you know, red meat is not going to make you, it's not going to make you a marathon runner. I mean, we know it's not so good for you, okay? But what USDA does is it serves the ag sector before consumers. So it buys up all this stuff like, you know, meat and cheese. This is not really what we want to give our kids. And it dumps them in the school lunch program. So it's like, who are they serving here? You know, well, yeah, that's nice for the farmer, you know. But
right, right. They're really dumping all this stuff in the school system in their lunches. It's terrible.
Absolutely. And there was a New York Times expose, I'm going to say as much as 5 years ago, that I just couldn't believe. They're so good because they really dig deep. And they found that the USDA was actually working with companies like Pizza Hut, and I forget the other ones, but many like fast food chains, and they were actually working with them to increase the amount of cheese that people eat. And then on the other side, they'll say, oh, watch your saturated fat. You don't want to have a heart attack. Well, whose side are they on, you know? Now, what about you, Evelyn? What are you eating these days?
I am eating very good, all organic foods. I'm off all of the processed foods, and I haven't eaten. The only meat I've eaten in 5 months is chicken, and I haven't eaten any red meat, and I've not eaten any processed foods from the grocery store. I mean, I threw out all my groceries, and now it's. I will say that organic foods are more expensive, you know, for the vegetables, but on the other hand, like since I gave up meat. One pack of chicken, I make enough chicken salad for the week and a whole thing of chicken soup. You know, so for the meat, but I'm finding ways. I've had to learn shopping for organic things, you know, and I'm finding now, you know, there's not that many organic food stores in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's just a few.
Well,
yeah,
and you're all from the very capital of the United States, Wisconsin.
Yeah, right. But there's not many places to go and choose from. But I'm getting better at it, you know. That it
Do you
doesn't
feel
have
any different physically?
Oh, I feel wonderful. I feel wonderful. And I also got rid of all the chemicals, like, you know, in shampoos and cleaning. all the things that have chemicals and all these things that are giving us cancer and all kinds of other diseases. So I got rid of all that. And of course, the geoengineering that affected me so badly, there's nothing I can do about that. That's really scary that we can't stop that. But otherwise, I feel absolutely great. And I take supplements and I drink lemon tea every morning and I do my vinegar and water.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All the things that are supposed to be healthy, I do. And I make these pain teas with turmeric and ginger and oranges and things. And no pain of any kind, no upset stomachs, no nothing. I feel
that
great.
You've been
eating organic foods and off meat and stuff for quite a while, haven't you?
Well, you know, I was never a meat eater. I haven't eaten meat since I was 16, you know, so that's like many,
really?
many years ago. But, you know, when you talk about organic, it is more expensive. But I really believe you get what, you know, that it's worth it. And one example that happened to me pretty recently was I bought a non-organic avocado, and I was just amazed and how different it was. It looked big, and it looked juicy, and had no flavor, and it was kind of, you know, like genetically engineered or something, you know?
Right. You can really taste the difference, can't you?
It's really, you know, it's worth it. You know, getting back to the meat for a second, you know, because I cover the meat industry a lot.
Right.
There, you know, in addition, it's not just the antibiotics. If it were just antibiotics and vaccines to keep them from getting, you know, their diseases, they would be bad enough. But there's a lot more that people should know. And, you know, that you know, even if you like meat, you don't want to have commercial meat because of these things. Okay, here's another one for you. Hormones, you know, the beef industry is basically based on hormones, okay? I don't even know if it could exist without that. There's at least four different types of hormones. One is like a testosterone-like hormone, and the others are more like estrogens, but they're to make the beef, you know, grow faster. Well, it's been at least 10 years, maybe more, that the EU, which is, I think, 28 countries, refuses to take U.S. beef because they, you know, because of the hormones. So it's like, what do they know that we don't know, okay? And they come
they
right out
everything.
And they say, we do not want your beef, U.S., because we believe it causes breast and prostate cancer. And you know, I've not really seen head-to-head or toe-to-toe studies from your EU and the United States, but I would guess they probably have a lot less breast cancer and prostate cancer. I'm just guessing, you know?
Oh, right. Well, we're the sickest country in the world, if you look at the charts every year. You know, and it's because of all this. Because of foods that they're feeding us, they're selling in the grocery store and with all these hormones and antibiotics and everything else in them, the GMO foods that a lot of countries overseas won't use either. And so we're sick, very sick, and yet we spend the most on health care of any country, developed country in the world.
You're absolutely right, and it's such an irony because who's really profiting from this? I mean, nobody is underweight anymore. Everybody's kind of overweight, and it gives this image that, oh, we're so healthy, we're getting so many good calories. But no, we're not healthy because this is like Frankenfood. You know, one thing we can talk about, Evelyn, that I think is so interesting because it relates to this genetic engineering is this Aqua Advantage salmon that was approved, I'm going to say, last year. And I attended those hearings, and I heard all about it from the people that created it. It is a Frankenfood, you know. And that is sort of emblematic of what's going on, is that these new foods will be created and they'll be patented. I mean, there was a time it wouldn't even make any sense to patent a food. You couldn't own, you know, like a food, but they would they'll patent them, you know, like of course we know with Monsanto and seeds. And now I've lost my train of thought. Well, where was I?
Well, you were talking about the frankenfoods and the...
Right, the salmon. I'm sorry, I forgot to say about the salmon. Right, so I had attended the hearings and listened to the cheerleaders for the, you know, this salmon that grows twice as fast. And so, of course, the growers can make twice the money. And these cheerleaders are saying things like they're going to hatch the eggs in Canada, and but they're going to grow out the adults in, I think, Costa Rica or someplace. And
really?
And so right away, the cynic in me is like, well, how are you going to transport this? And how are you going to keep these frankenfish from breeding with the wild, natural, good fish, which is a big fear in aquaculture, you know?
Sure.
And then... You know, there was a panel that interviewed these people who wanted the approval, which they got the approval. And one of the panelists asked about the genetic studies, and he said, you know, I don't know anything about genes except that I'm very suspicious of I don't think food needs to be genetically engineered. I don't understand the genome, you know. But this one person on the panel asked, you know, where did this chromosome go or something like that? And the expert, he said, well, that down-regulated, but you don't have to worry about it. It won't turn into Jurassic Park. And I'm thinking, well, what, you know, it's like, what are you doing, you know? You know, so in other words, the chromosomes have changed, but this is fine. Eat your salmon. And it feels to me like a lot of these new foods, it's sort of like, well, let's approve it. Let's make money on it. Let's have people eat it. And if anything bad happens, we'll see. You know, like we're the guinea pigs.
Yeah, just like they do with drugs now. Yeah, right.
Exactly like the drugs. It's so, yeah.
Oh, it is so scary. Now, are they selling that salmon now in the U.S.?
It's not sold yet, but it's approved, and I would think it's going to hit the, you know, markets, I would guess, maybe in a year or something. And they're really creepy. I mean, they're so creepy. They had, I read the whole government report on how they're going to handle them in Puerto Rico or wherever it is. I think it's Costa Rica. I can't even remember. But they had a whole plan for the dead salmon, and that they said, like, we'll have 2 feet of dead salmon, and then we'll have a plastic, and we'll put lime, and then we'll have another plastic. And I remember thinking, well, why are so many of these animals going to die, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're genetically engineered for, so it's sort of like for every one that's okay, there's like five that aren't or something. But it's just scary because it's all greed. It's not, and these cheerleaders for the Aqua Advantage salmon, they kept talking about this is the green revolution or the blue revolution, you know, the idea of, like, bounty from the sea and high-quality protein to feed the poor, and that's not what they're doing. The poor do not need a GMO salmon. You know, they you know, and they always, they cloak it in this idea of feed the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Genocide,
you know,
the whole
world. Thing I wrote about for Alternet, which I suggest to people, you know, to follow Alternet because they do a lot of good reporting on these topics. And I wrote an article about how the biotech industry, which would be, you know, certainly Monsanto and DuPont, but it's also the big animal pharma, like Eli Lilly's animal division is called Elanco. Okay, and they have a new campaign that, well, it's not that new. I think it came out in 2014. And it's sort of like a Feed the World campaign, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But oh, it's like, what do they call it? They call it the Enough campaign, okay?
Oh.
And Sensible Table. And they're trying, and they're pretending like they're the United Nations or something. And what they're trying to do is find overseas poor country markets for their biotech foods, just like the salmon thing we just talked about, okay? So part of their selling this, you know, is that they call food activists, of which I'm one, okay? They say that we're actually contributing to world hunger by blocking GMO foods.
You mean person, you. Starving people of the world, Martha. Oh, I'm
they
you.
Really do? I'm not kidding, Evelyn. And, that, you know, they say that, you know, if the blood is on our hands, you know, and they actually, I wrote about this, I guess, in 2014, but they actually want to call biotech green because it uses less resources, and those words are all in quotes. And so one example of green from the standpoint of the biotech companies would be bovine growth hormone. Okay, and that...
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Right.
Okay. The thinking behind bovine growth hormone was that one cow could produce the milk of like four or something, okay? And so they literally say, so therefore it's green. There's less manure, okay? There's less, you know, truck transport. I mean, that is not green, okay? That is, you know, but that's actually what they'll say, is that if we get more out of each animal, you know, then we're green. And so that leads the way to all this, you know, the drugs that these animals are given, and the genetic engineering of the food products, and they hide behind, they greenwash it, and they pretend like we're feeding the world, and they always say high-quality protein. Well, you know, I've researched that because I'm vegan, you know, and
right.
There's a lot of high-quality protein that is not meat, and the World Food Program gives biscuits, you know, to poor countries, and they're high-quality grain, and they don't have any meat in them at all, you know, because there's
right.
many, many high-quality proteins that don't call for, you know, Franken-salmons and GMOs and, you know, bovine growth hormone, you know?
Right. Right. Well, this the way they've hijacked the food industry is just, and especially in the United States, they're poisoning us. I mean, and all those things that they're putting in these animals, those drugs and vaccines and all those toxins and everything, we eat that food. You know, so we're not only getting it, you know, in the stores, in the, you know, or in the regular food we buy and everything, but the meat and everything that we're getting all those toxic chemicals and pharmaceuticals and stuff when we eat this stuff.
Well, you're exactly
you know,
right.
People like me that... stay away from things like antibiotics and stuff, thought I was all these years and everything, and then find out this, that the meat I was eating was full of them. You know, because
yeah,
I stayed away
then,
from them because I heard about it building up, you know, tolerance and everything, that if I did ever get sick, I wanted them to work. That's why I stayed away from them. Then I learned that all the food we're eating has it in it.
Well, you're right. And you know, it makes you so mad, Evelyn, because all we can really do is eat well ourselves and try to expose this to other people. One thing that you hear a lot about that I think is connected to this is this precocious puberty, you know, where the girls will, you know, develop puberty at, like, age 8 or 9. And in my opinion, that's from these hormones in the meat.
Right, right.
I mean, that didn't used to be, and then there goes your childhood when you're 8 or 9, and, you know, now you're a young woman. I mean, that's, you know, but, and another thing that people need to understand is that the antibiotics and the, you know, the different hormones, the vaccines, heavy metals, and there's also some more we can talk about, like one is called rectopamine. That the animals are given, this goes into the manure, okay? And the manure is used to grow crops. So if you don't eat the animals, they found, at least in corn and cabbage and some crops, that antibiotics from the manure will go right up there into the crop. So it would be
right.
like in the vegetable.
Right, right. Contaminate in so many different ways of food. I mean, it's bad enough with the pesticides, the herbicides, and things that they use. But then when you're describing this, you know, I would have never known that. I don't ever realize that.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't want anyone to know that. And, you know, that was a very reputable source. It was like a land-grant university that was doing crop research. They weren't fringe activists like me. And they said, you know, the cabbage and the corn now have antibiotics in them. So... yeah, it's really worse than a lot of people realize. The best thing you can do, because I don't want to depress people, okay? The best thing you can do is shop in a store that you trust. And personally, I like Whole Foods. It's expensive, but I trust it. But if you any store you go to at all, even if some of their food is not the good stuff, they always have a section that has the organic and good stuff. So just,
yeah,
if you just buy that,
way, yeah,
that stuff, you'll, you know.
Right.
You can,
and
you
then,
can
you
avoid
know,
a lot of that. You know, just by not eating it. I mean, they have to market, you know, it's the worst thing people, I just finished an article for Alternet on six or five food facts that Big Food does not want you to know, you know, because, of course, they're going to lose consumers. But probably the worst thing that anybody could ever eat would be processed meats. And what I mean by that would be like your ham, bacon, lunch meats, and, you
hot
know,
dog.
Slim Jims. Those are the worst.
Right, right.
And
hot
the reason,
dogs and things like that, right?
Exactly. And the reason they're the worst, and I know that to some people they taste good because they're salty and they're kind of stingy and they bite back and everything, but the reason they're so bad is because they're preserved with nitrites and nitrates, which in the body can become carcinogenic, and they're linked to all kinds of cancers. Now, like if you have one, you know, obviously you're not, it's not going to give you cancer, you know. But on the other hand, there's a point at which it really is a risk, and you certainly don't want your kids to eat it. And I would guess that there's probably hot dogs out there and maybe bacon that is free, you know, nitrate free, and that's what you want to eat. But you don't, these smoked and cured meats, it's almost like you just smoked a pack of cigarettes, and nobody really is smoking a pack of cigarettes anymore if they can help it, you know, if they can fight the addiction. So it's very, you know, because cigarettes also contain the nitrosamines, the products from the nitrate and nitrite. They just plain cause cancer. And about 3 months ago, the World Health Organization named processed meats as the highest level of risk that there is. Okay? And then here comes the meat industry, and they're like, oh, you're overreacting. A little can't hurt you. And, you know, this kind of thing. Of course they're going to say that.
Right. So that's all things like bologna, all those lunch meats.
Mm-hmm.
Things, those are all included in there, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, don't ever, ever eat them. I mean, really, you'd be better off smoking a cigarette. I mean, yeah, the bologna, the salami, the summer sausage. And I know bacon is real popular. I personally haven't had bacon since 1970, but I know it's really popular.
I love bacon.
Bacon is another one. You don't want to eat it.
I know it. I know it. And I was bound to that. I was just, I told you before, that geoengineering and all this poison food and stuff that I was down to, I had no energy whatsoever at all.
Really?
And I think I was losing my mind. I'm not kidding you. I couldn't spell. I couldn't run this computer half the time. It was awful. But anyhow, so I was cooking late, and I was making bacon all the time, and I would just have bacon sandwiches. I'd be sitting there at the computer working, and I just had bacon sandwiches over and over and over. And then when I learned all this, I was like, oh, my God, that's what I've been eating for months. And my boyfriend likes bologna, and so he'd eat 2-3 bologna sandwiches a day. And I read this, and I was like, oh, my God, all this was contributing to it, you know, my losing my mind that from all this toxins.
Well, you know, the
how
thing is,
how long have you been living healthy? Pardon?
You know, the thing is that I like to tell people, it's like you don't have to give up enjoying food. You could go into your store, and you're going to find like a probably meat-free bologna, you know, that tastes just as good, and you won't miss it a bit. You know, because it's not like you have to give up food you like. You know,
right?
I mean,
well,
there's plenty of sausages that are, you know, in the morning, like they'll cook up these sausages, and they're not from meat, and they taste just like meat, you know?
Really? Where'd you find
these? Oh, yeah.
Where'd you find these?
Oh, gosh, they're in the Whole Foods. I think they're called something like garden sausages or something, but that you would never know the difference. And that's a nice part, because people don't want to give up, you know, pleasure in life. There aren't that many pleasures, but food, you know, is
right.
You know, I mean, why shouldn't we enjoy our food? But yeah, and you know, there's that, and there's, you know, there's so many meat substitutes that really you would not know the difference. you know, so that's what I say to people, just find a substitute, because most people, you know, they still want to, they want food that tastes good. They don't want to be a martyr, you know.
Right, right. But, so you know, I have learned to like things that I never liked before.
Really?
You know, and, yeah, like spinach, for instance. I probably still wouldn't like it cooked. It has such a horrible smell. And I cut that up for my salads every day with the other greens.
Uh-huh.
And I eat it. I like it. But, you know, when you're talking about buying organic, when you were talking before about how you bought, you know, the product and it didn't taste the same, it wasn't
right.
organic.
Right.
This organic food is so tasty, and it lasts a lot longer in the fridge and stuff than the regular food does.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
It stays fresh and stuff a lot longer. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm amazed
it's just,
at it.
It's worth it.
It is worth it. It is worth it. And the difference in how I feel is 100% different.
Wow. How long since you gave up the bacon?
5 months.
Oh, that's so fantastic, Ellen. Do you look different? I mean, when you look in the mirror?
I don't know. I don't look in the mirror that often. Now I gave up makeup and stuff, too. You know, although I did buy some organic here a couple weeks ago on Amazon, but I quit wearing any makeup and stuff, too, because, you know, it's all full of toxins and everything. And before, I wore quite a bit of makeup, but I gave that all up, too. I just went clean living all the way.
Well, you know, they don't want you to know this stuff, and, you know, I believe in consumer power. You know, we talked about how consumers got them to quit putting the fragrance in these cosmetics because the fragrance is parabens and, you know, carcinogens, and we don't need, you know, the cosmetics are not, you know, they're not innocent either. A lot of them are really dangerous. But consumer power really does it. I mean, what, you know, I always say stores really listen to their customers. And, you know, if customers say you shouldn't carry that or if customers don't buy it, you know.
Right.
But, you know, the last
meat
product that I wanted to talk about to the listeners is this really creepy, creepy drug called ractopamine. And what it is, it's kind of like an asthma drug, okay. And it puts a weight on, it was first used in pigs and then it was used in beef and turkey. I don't believe it's used in chicken, but it's not labeled because none of these drugs are labeled. I mean, if they were labeled, we wouldn't buy them, right?
Right, right.
And so anyway, when I researched this, and this is incidentally, this is all in my book, which anybody can get on Amazon, Born with a Junk Food Deficiency. But when I researched this ractopamine, which is called, there's different names depending on the animal. One of them is called paline. I think that's the pig version. But when I researched it, it says to the human being, do not handle this drug unless you have an OSHA-approved face mask. Okay, and I'm like, but we're eating this animal, okay?
Right.
So I'm starting to think, what the heck is this drug? Well, then I find out most of the drugs, at least legally, need to be withdrawn from the animal 2 weeks before slaughter, so that it can leave the animal. Though it goes in the manure and it goes in the crops, but it's theoretically not in the animal, okay?
Right,
but paline and these ractopamines are not withdrawn, so they're in the animal when he's slaughtered. So, you know, in my humble opinion, we're eating it because if it's in the animal, you know. So this
we don't have a mask to wear.
Pardon me?
And we don't have a mask to wear.
this is like a drug that nobody was thinking they were eating, and it was first introduced in 1997. I really believe, and I can't prove it, but that's when people started getting so fat. I really believe it was 1997 when this went into the pork supply. But so anyway, it's been in the
food. Is that
to
fatten up the pig? Is that to fatten up the animal?
Yeah, it fattens them up.
Oh, okay.
It's a growth enhancer. And, you know, it's not withdrawn at slaughter. And so it has, you know, this lady, Temple Grandin? And she's known as kind of the Ralph Nader of agriculture, because she talks about these things in the meat, you know, and she comes from that that agricultural background, so she really knows what she's talking about. And she used to say that once you give these animals the rectopamine, they can't even stand up anymore. So it makes them completely muscle-bound and fat-bound, and, you know, they weigh more and the farmer gets more, but the animal can't even walk, and the animal becomes abused because they want to move it and it won't move, and, you know, this kind of thing. So there's been a lot of backlash against this terrible drug, and I read recently that these meat producers are now going to put on some packages produced without rectopamine, so they hear us, okay, but it takes so much for them to hear us, you know?
Yeah, right.
And incidentally, this lady at Temple Grandin, she's a professor of animal science, probably, in Colorado. She says, and I agree with her, that the best way for these farmers to stop all the bad publicity is to stream video from their own farms and let the consumers see what they're doing and not hide it.
Right, and I was going to ask you about that. You, in one article, you were talking about passing these laws that people can't film these kind of farms anymore and stuff.
Right, right. This has more to do with the cruelty to animals than it does the bad ingredients in the food. But when, you know, for many years the animal activists have gone into the farms and they've gotten jobs, they've gotten hired so they can film how these animals are treated. They put it on YouTube, and it's horrifying. It's just horrifying stuff. And so Big Food's reaction to this, you know, the exposés, is what they call ag gag laws. And literally at the state level, six or eight states have made it illegal to go into a farm and videotape what they're doing to the animals. So in other words, it's kill the messenger.
How did they justify that, those states passing those laws?
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm you know, even people that don't give a darn say, well, that's just First Amendment, you know?
Yes, right. And, you know, the other day I was looking online on Google. I was trying to find some documentaries. My grandson was going to be here. And I wanted to find some on the farming, suppose. You know, I can't find any.
Oh, really?
Really? I mean, I found a couple, but they weren't that good. But years ago, I know I found you know, documentaries on this kind of farming. But, yeah, I couldn't hardly find any.
Yeah,
so they're doing
a
good job at shutting people up.
Well, they do. And you know, I love animals so much. And when I started seeing those videos, I was like, that's it. That is absolutely it. When I quit eating meat was after I saw a bullfight, and I just said, that's it. You know, if you're doing that to animals, I ain't eating animals. You know, that's me, you know. But, yeah, the ag gag laws.
What was in bullfight? I don't remember that. What was that about, that movie?
Well, you know, when I was young, I don't know why, but they used to put bullfights on TV, okay? And so I just saw a bullfight on TV when I was 16, and it made me so sick, I never ate meat again, you know?
Oh. Really? Wow.
I mean, it was just, you know, some of this cruelty, you know, that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But the egg game was...
Go ahead.
You know, they were found unconstitutional by one state, and only six to eight states have passed them. How they would defend them, I'm sure, would be, well, we're an agricultural state. You know, we can't make a, you know, we, our profits depend on these practices. You know, the big ag tries to defend what look like cruel practices as, well, you know, you're squeamish and this is life on the farm and it's not really cruel and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, we who live in the cities, we don't really know because we didn't grow up on a farm, you know. But no, it's like castrating pigs, you're burning off the horns on the young calves, you know, all of that done without a painkiller. That's just, you can't tell me that's not cruel. That's not me. So I think Big Ag is saying, whoa, you know,
why are they doing that? Burning off the horns on young calves.
I don't know why they do it, but I know they do it because there was a video that got on Nightline that showed it, and a congressperson passed a law that you can't do it without painkiller any longer. I'm sure it has to do with, you know, maybe that they gore each other with the horns, you know. It's sort of like with the chickens, you know, the reason that they take their beaks off when they're little newborns is so they don't peck each other. So the idea is that if they crowd them together, they are going to attack each other because they shouldn't be crowded together, you know.
Right, right. Well, how long does it take? Now, they can make these animals grow so fast and everything. How long does it take them to make a chicken after it's born go to market nowadays?
You know, that's a good question. It used to be much longer. They've got them growing so fast. I'm just going to guess, and I could be totally wrong, 6 weeks. And I think it used to be more like 12 weeks. They grow so fast that they can't even stand. So, at least the turkeys can't, you know, because their breasts get so big. You know, and that's all chemicals. Do we really want to eat that? You know, even if you don't love animals, you don't want to eat that.
I don't. And then, you know, and then I want to throw in here about how more and more it's showing up with all the pharmaceuticals in the water that we're drinking. So we're getting it from the food, then we're drinking the water that, what was it, 63 pharmaceuticals was found in this one. It was just a couple of weeks ago, and I posted on Facebook. 62 pharmaceuticals that all these in our bodies at one time in little trace amounts or whatever. What is that doing to us?
No, it's just scary. There's just no telling. And then you wanted to talk a little about this, you know, the vaccine, you know, the film about the vaccines. You know, because we, you know, certainly when I was growing up, you didn't have all these autistic kids, you know?
Absolutely not. In 1978, it was 1 in 17,000 that had autism. Today it's 1 in 68, and that was just the numbers the CDC just released, but reports have come out that they're BS, and that was the same number they gave 2 years ago. And these are kids born in 2004, okay?
Wow.
And so it wouldn't just be the same. You know, they're downplaying them numbers. But, yeah, they tried to censor that vaccine, it was called. Mm-hmm. Oh, heck, I got it here. But anyhow, what it was, this was a plot from day one. I mean, they pumped it up in the media for a week with Robert De Niro at his Tribeca Film Festival was going to premiere it April 24th. And so they trumped it up for a week, you know, and the media all over the place attacked him, okay, the corporate-run mainstream media. And even they had a child with autism, so he used that line that, well, he wanted all the issues to be discussed and things like this, you know, pumped it up. Then, and I seen this coming. I knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see
it. The last minute, they pulled it. Okay? He comes out and announces that they've decided that they're not going to show it. Okay? So it was perfectly censored. And after the whole week, like I said, the mainstream newspapers and stuff putting out horrible articles about it. And what they were doing was focusing on Andrew Wakefield, okay, that put out a study in 1998 that... It turns out he was right. He was right. And in fact, and the thing is, they focused on the messenger instead of what the movie was about. What the movie is about is a CDC whistleblower coming forward that worked on a study in 2001 that proved that the MMRI caused autism. In fact, it increased amongst black males that got it before a certain time. It increased 340% their chance of getting autism. Okay, he knew this. They didn't publish it until 2004. And, in fact, they did this study in response to the study that Dr. Wakefield had done in 1998, because they viewed him as the head of the anti-vaxxers, which is BS, because I never even heard of him when I was first writing about these topics, starting in 2003. So they, for 10 years, they slaughtered that guy, dragged him through, you know, trumped up charges in the UK about this was a fraudulent study and all this kind of stuff, and they got it so that they ended up retracting the study and everything. Well, after 10 years dragging him through this, and they took his license and they took this other author's license, and 10 years of fighting this, you know, the drain financially from all the legal bills,
right.
He didn't have the money to appeal, but the other author appealed and they threw that verdict out. And they said it was all on rigged evidence, and it was not a fraudulent study and all this stuff, but the media doesn't say that. Just says this fraudulent scientist, Andrew Wakefield, blah, 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 you know, his study was thrown out. They don't tell the truth. But that study was found it was not fraudulent, and they threw that whatever the UK's medical board mm-hmm. is or whatever that handled this, you know. And so anyhow, that's all they did was slam him. The real story that they never mentioned was the CDC whistleblower coming through and admitting this, that they not only changed the data so that it wouldn't show this, you know, found a way to change the data so that they didn't have to print this,
right.
But then they even got together at the CDC, the scientists that worked on this study, and threw all the data away, threw all the documents in a trash bag. Well, he saved him, okay, because he knew it would be against the law to be doing this. So he saved his, and he brought this forward. And Congressman Posey, I think he's from Florida, he's been trying with the Congress to get a full investigation of this, you know, because that was, they knew in 2001. So till he came out in 2014, but today that's 15 years that they let these kids get autism. And I'm telling you what, I've come to the conclusion this is part of the depopulation agenda. Because when I thought about it, for 14 years I've been investigating this, wondering why the government would give these children such a debilitating illness that for life they would be, you know, their lives are ruined, their families' lives are ruined. They can't afford to take care of these kids. And then I thought of it, bingo. Yeah, it's a depopulation agenda. These autistic kids will not have children. So we went from 1 in 17,000 in 1978 to 1 in 68 now. You tell me any other disease in this country that was affecting children this way that the government wouldn't have found out what is causing this and put a stop to it.
You know, you're so right, Evelyn, and you covered this really early. I came to this pretty late, and I didn't know a lot of what you just said. It's just shocking.
Yes. Yes, so that's how many kids they knock off every year, you know, that aren't going to have kids in this country. And it's one of the many ways that they are doing this to children. The Gardasil vaccine now, a new study just came out that, and I wrote about this a while back, that it's affecting reproductiveness in girls. They're getting menopause. They get it at 9 years old. They're getting menopause at 9 years old. It's messing up their periods. It's messing up everything. And this is another way they're doing it, ruining girls' reproductive systems. And
well, you know, it's no secret that that Big Pharma is pushing, you know, biologics, which are vaccines and injectable liquid drugs. They're pushing them very, very strongly because that's where the profit is. The pills are no longer profitable, and they're pushing the biologics, in including the vaccines. I mean, that's no secret, and that's a Wall Street strategy. And didn't know some of this. I know that the Gardasil, I always say that, you know, Big Pharma has lied itself into the corner. If it would say, okay, it's true that some of these vaccines did X, Y, and Z, then that's one thing. And there are adverse effect reports in the government databases, but what pharma says instead is you're all liars, you're all wrong, you're poisoning the well and making people whose own children are like this, make them look like they're lying or there's something wrong with them or their kid is ruined for life. And so Big Pharma has lied and said there's no evidence, these are totally safe, you guys are crazy. And it's coming back to haunt them now because it's obviously, you know, there may be a gray area where some aren't harmful, like, you know, but for them to say none are harmful, they're all safe, and you guys are crazy? I mean, come on!
right. And this bit with the autism, you know, that to take over a generation, and we talk about the autism all the time because it's the worst side effect, adverse effect. But
right.
The other day I was just reading a study. One in every five children under five now has epilepsy. Vaccines cause that, too. And so here we are, disabling these kids in epilepsy, you know, and now it's come out that pot can help with this epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're, you know, trying to block that for it can't be had, you know, so that pharma can keep selling the drugs that it gives to all these kids, and it feeds right into the other, you know. And like I want to mention before, the pediatricians are behind this, too, blocking this getting on these vaccines because they make between 50 to 70% of their income from giving vaccines. See, pharma has done this. It has got the doctors and the medical profession making so much money off their drugs and products that they're hooked into this now.
You're absolutely right. It's a big part of their income, and so they're gonna. Yeah, you're right. That's how it's done, and it's money at the price. Literally making money off harm to little children.
Everything.
It's just a shock that I don't have children. You know, myself. But if I had a child who had that, I'd be out there with a picket sign on the steps of the Capitol, you know?
They have been. They have been. We can't stop them. I mean, I've been to protests at the White House against the FDA and pharma with certain drugs and things. We can't stop them. You know, the regulatory agencies are in bed with all these industries, and they've taken over the country, and they're just poisoning us and everything, our food, our medicines. You know, I want to have you back because I want to talk about some of these other drugs, too, that people are taking all the time that aren't good for them.
But I would love to.
Like even the cholesterol drugs and even the blood pressure drugs. I take no pharma products at all. No, none. For nothing.
Good for you. Good. Neither do I. Let's talk again because there's a lot more about that to say. And people who are on these drugs and don't even know that they could go off them, you know.
Oh, yeah, and I did. I was on blood pressure medicine. I went off them. The doctor called here when I was going to need an appointment, and I just screamed at her, "Don't you call here again and try to put me on them poisonous drugs."
You're great. It's just a shock. You know, we've talked about, the GERD medicines, the PPIs, and what they do is they cause, I think it's kidney harm and bone, the calcium leaches out of your bones, so you're going to need your bone drug. I mean, what are they doing to people? You know, I always say, too, turn off your TV because you won't know you're missing that drug unless you see the drug ad, you know?
Right, and with them censoring this vax movie, you know, the people weren't going to get the goods on this CDC whistleblower. He feels terrible. He says whenever he sees a family with autism now, he feels just horrible. That he's a part of this, that this happened. You know, in Congress, Pelosi's been trying to get those documents from the CDC for 6 months. They won't give him up. I mean, he knows what they did. And now getting them, to reveal this like that, the whole mainstream media tried to censor this thing and left out any word about this whistleblower.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it. You're absolutely right. It was just absolutely smothered. That information did not get out, and thank God for whistleblowers.
Yeah, and thank God for people like Andrew Wakefield, I'll tell you, because he went through all this, but he stayed in it. He knew what was happening to these kids. And losing his career and everything, he still has stayed in this researching and trying to reveal this. And now it's come out. It was in response to his study that they did that study to try to prove him wrong.
Right.
Well, and the liars, he was right all along.
And, like you say, too, Evelyn, if it weren't, I mean, if all these kids now have, this huge amount of kids now have this disease, what the heck else would it be?
Nothing. But I don't know why this didn't dawn on me sooner, I'll tell you. Because I guess I just wasn't into this eugenics and depopulation thing that they're pulling all over the world. But I am now, and that's it. They won't have children.
When I grew up, they didn't give vaccines. You had to just get the diseases. And then you wouldn't get the disease again, you know. And I didn't realize it, but how lucky we really were, you know.
Yeah, right. And the GMO foods and stuff didn't come out until the 90s, so that's why everything's so much horrible now. You know, here's my music. That's my cue. Thank you so much, Martha, for coming on. And I want you on again soon because you are the most knowledgeable journalist on these topics.
Well, thank you, Evelyn, and I feel the same about you. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I hope you learned some things today. I know I did. I'm going to have Martha on again soon because I want to talk some more about this food and drugs that we're taking that are killing us, literally killing us. Okay, well, thanks for tuning in. Bye.